First played 5 years ago on WPGM, we bring back this production of A Global Christmas on the WPGM Community Forum.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
Questo avvenne quando Quirino era governatore
della Siria. Per censimento era obbligatorio che tutti tornassero al paese dei propri antenati per le debiti.
José também subiu de Galileia, da cidade de Nazaré, a Judeia e a cidade.
Vitlihem je u Mariam podosh lavrimia rodov.
A porodila svého prvo zeného syna. Zvinula ho do plenek a položina do jesli, protože v hostinci pro
ně. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Que hoy en la ciudad de David os ha nacido un Salvador, que es Cristo.
En Sudán, il se joignit à l'ange, une multitude de l'armée céleste, louant Dieu et disant,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Feliz Navidad, Melech Kilekemaka, Shubnaya Baras, Godjul, Srazdistvum. Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, no matter how you say it. We wish you a blessed Christmas season. Today on the WPGM Community Forum, we hear from some local residents about the traditions of Christmas with which they grew up. And we start just across the Atlantic Ocean in Spain. Alba Fernandez Garcia of Spain is currently a visiting language fellow at Susquehanna University in Selins Grove. Her holiday recollections?
Well, nowadays it's more or less like in America, because now the 24th and the 25th is like very, very important as well. But I remember as a kid, the most important day in Spain is the 6th of January, because we have the three wise men. And I remember that that was dead day, and still is dead day for kids, because we got the presents under the Christmas tree. And I remember that we had to leave the shoes. So the next day, I don't know the connection between shoes and the wise men, but next day, instead of the shoes, we had the presents. And I know it's still like that. But basically in Spain, everything goes around food and having food together. And of course, a lot of fiesta. Like, people in Spain love going and party, because basically I think the weather is a little bit like nicer. So Christmas is basically, I mean, it's not summer, it's still winter, but we're all always around in the plazas and drinking outside, and of course having the grapes. The 31st of December, we have 12 grapes. The countdown is 12 grapes, like bing, bing. I mean, everybody in Spain do that. It's the only thing that we have in common in Spain, eating 12 grapes.
The 12 grapes Alba mentioned is a New Year's Spanish tradition that dates back to the late 19th century. Some vine growers popularized the custom to sell lots and lots of grapes. A grape is eaten with each bell strike at midnight. That's supposed to lead to a year of prosperity. Alba mentioned this being an agreed-upon tradition across the country. That's because the Spanish celebrate very differently depending upon their region of habitation. She's from the south near Seville.
But Christmas, it's something that we have in common.
Spanish Christmas has become a bit more Americanized, she says.
When I was a kid, I don't actually remember Father Christmas. No, I mean, I remember him like in the commercials, but now actually some people, you go to malls, you expect to see him there. But this is kind of new, yeah, the last decade.
She said globalization has led to some of those changes. As for the spiritual side of Christmas,
of course we have people in Spain who are not especially religious, but still it's part of our tradition, so everybody celebrate Christmas.
Barbara Olivaria is from Argentina. She's a language fellow at Susquehanna University in Snyder County.
You know, Argentina is mostly a Catholic country, so many people go to church. They attend Mass on the 24th. That Mass lasts for like more than 2 hours. But it's very common for people to go there before Christmas dinner. The main difference between Christmas here and in my country is that actually Christmas in my country is summertime, so we have something like between 80 and 100 Fahrenheit every Christmas. So if you have a swimming pool, you would spend 25th of December at the swimming pool. Santa has a very bad time in his costume. We call him Papa Noel, commonly we gather together with relatives in houses. People cook. All the gatherings, everything is about food. So food is very important. Mostly cold stuff, because as it is very, very hot, we usually have some salads. Usually my father makes asado, which is kind of barbecue, or some pork. It's very typical. So it's mainly about gathering. At midnight, we open the presents. But the presents are usually not under the tree before midnight, but 5 minutes before that, we put all the presents together and we unwrap the presents all together. We set off fireworks as well. We have a specific date for putting up the tree and the decorations, which is the 8th of December. December the 8th, we put up the tree and we start with the decorations. It's actually Virgin Mary's Day, so it's a national holiday. It varies from family to family, but in my family, we give everybody presents, not only the kids, but everybody. Everybody gets a present. And sometimes we have this system, we call it Amigo Invisible, that is like an invisible friend. And we sort of shuffle our names, so we give a present to one person in particular. So it's like a surprise. I mean, each person gets a present. Christmas spirit is not that ingrained or deep in my society, at least not so much in Buenos Aires, because that's where I come from.
Barbara adds that music is not a big part of Christmas in Argentina. Not so in Wales, though, where music is always at the top of the list.
It's all about the music and the poetry.
That's Fiona Siobhan Powell, currently of Milton, but originally from Wales in the United Kingdom.
One of the oldest traditions in Wales is called the Mari Lwyd. The Mari Lwyd is a horse's skull that has been given glass eyeballs, and somebody hides underneath the skull with a white cloth, and usually the jaws are fixed so that they can clamp back and forth. They can chomp, chomp, chomp. This has got to be a recollection of the old times when we had the horse goddess Rhiannon, or Epona, the Celtic horse goddess, and the Mari Lwyd and their party go around from door to door. She will sing a song, but it's a play. People inside the house have to respond in song, and then you let the Mari Lwyd in and you feed the Mari Lwyd crowd.
Speaking of music, Powell said it's considered lucky to have carolers at your door. In fact, they often collect for charity.
One time I was carol singing, and we went round, and the woman said, what charity are you collecting? And I said, the Buy Ourselves a Tonka Truck charity.
But it's not just music, it's food.
Christmas cake. It's the most wonderful thing. And my heart broke when I came to America and Americans talked with such disdain about fruitcake. And then I tasted an American-style fruitcake and I could see why Americans spoke with disdain.
The food-centered traditions stretch beyond the Christmas cake, however.
The big thing about Christmas is that you prepare well in advance. And in November, you have what's called Stir Up Sunday. That's when you're going to make your Christmas cake and you're going to make your Christmas pudding. Everybody in the house has a stir and makes a wish of the ingredients before you boil the pudding. And then you put them on the shelf. And then from November until Christmas Day, you take the cake out or the pudding out on regular interviews, and you prick holes in it and you pour more booze into it so it's really rich. And then the week before Christmas, you put marzipan on your Christmas cake. And then a few days before Christmas, you'll ice it with royal icing and decorate it. And you have your Christmas pudding after dinner. You set it alight and you have put little charms. You might have a little silver button or a silver spoon, little tiny charms that are put into the Christmas pudding. And it's lucky to find a charm in your Christmas pudding. Each one means something.
Christmas pudding is eaten after the midday meal. It's always at midday.
Because at 3 o'clock, you want to gather around the telly and watch the Queen. And the Queen will give her a Christmas message at 3 o'clock.
And at about 5 o'clock, it's time for that aforementioned Christmas cake. Now, as for the spiritual side, Powell admits Britain has become a very secular nation.
But even families who don't go to church on a regular basis, and they are more and more, many of us go to church at Christmas for the Midnight Mass, and it was a magical experience and one that keeps the communities together.
The biggest difference between an American and a UK Christmas
is that Christmas in the British Isles happens at Christmas. The nativity set does not come out until Christmas Eve. You might get the stable out, in fact in our household we used to really enjoy the gradual development of the nativity scene.
After the day itself, things continue with Boxing Day. It's a very slow return to normal.
Because Christmas is not over until the Epiphany. Christmas is over at Twelfth Night.
There are fewer gifts given.
And it was traditional not to shop for Christmas presents until Christmas Eve.
And in the UK, instead of Santa, it's Father Christmas. Nearby in Scotland, Daryl Rogers, now of Selinsgrove, remembers family tradition similar in many respects to here in the States. The tree goes up in early to mid-December. Generally a fake tree, as Daryl recalls, at least at his house. He remembers the smells. He remembers the Salvation Army carolers. He recalls the Advent calendar.
Mom would buy an Advent calendar for us every morning before school. We'd get up and take turns each at opening the Advent calendar and getting your little chocolate thing out of it.
He recalls family.
My gran would come the day before Christmas and would come with this big black bag, just full to the brim of presents, and we were always excited when gran was coming.
And he recalls the food.
In my house, we would have an appetizer and Mom would make every year of prawn cocktail, which consisted of shrimp mixed with Thousand Island dressing on a bed of lettuce. That for us was a very normal thing that we only ever had at Christmas. We would always have, a turkey and mashed potatoes and Brussels sprouts. And a lot of people in Scotland and in the UK in general would have Brussels sprouts with their meal. I know that our stuffing is quite a bit different. It's kind of more grainy. I think it's more like maybe oats and barley, not a bread base. Mince pies. And inside there's kind of like sweet mincemeat type thing with spices and raisins and currants and things like that inside it. So that's a very British thing. For another big thing that we have also, and for dessert, my family usually always had, a lot of families had trifle. Basically a base of Jell-O with like sponge base with a custard next layer, followed by a cream on top with sprinkles on top of that.
A great number of Scots head to Midnight Mass, or for those in the Church of Scotland, Midnight Services.
Christmas continues to have much more religious overtones than it does, I think, in the States. I think in the States it's become much more commercialized and much less associated with anything to do with religion, I think. I know that my wife, when we went to the UK, even though I'd say that the UK is often referred to as a post-Christian nation, that this is the one time in the year where it seems to be still acceptable to mention the fact that it is a Christian holiday, and it's still seen by most people as a Christian holiday. The other big thing for Scottish people, Hogmanay is the 31st of December, and that for a long time was almost more important in Scotland than Christmas. Christmas was banned in Scotland for almost 400 years. The Church of Scotland banned it because it was considered a Catholic tradition and too Pope-like. And so basically it really didn't become an official holiday until 1958, I think it was.
But back to that New Year's Eve tradition.
And so there are many traditions associated with Hogmanay. The one that's probably most famous is called First Footing. Just before midnight, you have to send someone outside your door who has to be tall, dark, and handsome. And they have to be carrying something to drink and something to eat. And then it was usually my dad gets sent out in the freezing cold, 11:50, 58, 59. And then when the bell struck midnight, mostly on the TV, you would know it, and then he would say, "Okay, you can come in." So he would knock the door, and he would be the first foot in the house. And the idea is that brings good luck for the rest of the year. So it's called First Footing. I could never do it because I have red hair.
Red hair or not, everyone has to cover up their heads with a silly hat, thanks to another UK tradition.
Christmas crackers. They often get put in the Christmas tree, and when it's Christmas Day, you bring out a Christmas cracker. These long, cylindrical-looking things wrapped in kind of like wrapping paper, and then someone pulls one end, someone pulls the other end, and it kind of gives a pop, like a firecracker, basically. And inside, you get this little trinket, or usually a joke or a saying, and a paper hat. And everyone This is the ritual that everyone has to put on this silly paper hat and sit at Christmas dinner feeling really stupid. It's the duty of, I think, every good person in the United Kingdom for everyone to wear these hats that you get out of your Christmas crackers.
Elena Magani hails from Italy. She explains how Christmas preparation begins early.
Usually my grandmother and my female relatives will start off thinking about what are we going to cook for Christmas, like at the beginning of December. They start, you know, making calls and comparing ideas, and usually it's in my grandmother's house. So we have a big dinner on the 24th, and that's the first part of a long food marathon, because then we are there again on Christmas Day, and there are 20 people, all my relatives from my mother's side. And then again, we also celebrate the 26th. We call it Santo Stefano, Saint Stephen. He was the first martyr, and that means another day, usually eating the leftovers for Christmas, because we cook so much stuff.
As for gift giving,
we also exchange presents, but that's something I guess we imported, because in Italy we have Santa Lucia, again a saint, Saint Lucy, at least in the north, on the 13th of December. She's a kind of Santa for us, because I remember going to sleep on the 12th and waking up the 13th finding presents. So we don't usually exchange so many presents at Christmas, because we've already, you know, done it. And Christmas we would exchange small gifts, nothing very expensive, but I guess that depends on the family. I mean, this is what we do.
As is common in many cultures, food is associated with a holiday period.
Usually we would eat tortellini or ravioli di zucca. That's a kind of pasta with a pumpkin filling, and unfortunately boiled hen or chicken. And of course, the most traditional part of the lunch would be the sweet part, that we would eat Pandoro panettone. They are cake, there's a lot of yeast in them, and they can have like raisins, and we can serve it with cream or whatever. Yeah, Pandoro panettone, depends. Usually Italy, yeah, this is a common theme on the radio in Italy. Toward Christmas, DJ will start asking, okay, which one do you prefer? Pandoro. Yes, usual question before Christmas. What are we going to choose, Pandoro or panettone? In the end, we eat both.
Then there's the eel.
At Christmas, we have just a small portion of that, because not many people actually like it.
Elena said in the South they tend to buy these live, although her family up north sticks to the jarred variety. Turning to the spirituality of the holiday.
A lot of people go to the church, and often also people that never go to the church would go just for Christmas. And I think the most fascinating thing about going to the church at Christmas is that for Christmas only, we have a midnight mass. There's something magic in going to the church at night with all the people, even if you're not really religious. But still, I love going to the midnight mass.
Magani adds that some traditions like Santa Claus have been imported from overseas recently, although they tend to focus more on saints bringing gifts. And she said kids would never think Santa brought them. As a matter of fact,
in some part of Italy, they say it's Gesù Bambino, so Jesus child, bringing presents.
Riverside residents Dave and Ginny Mal came to Pennsylvania 20 years ago after a nearly three-decade stint in missions in Italy. Like Elena, they saw an increasing American influence before they departed Europe.
Unfortunately, we felt in latter years that they were taking more of the American aspect in the frenetic shopping and the traffic and the prices going sky high before Christmas.
Regardless, it remains a family time.
We spent much time with Italians, but that day usually it was with another American colleague, family friend.
One of the specific traditions Dave Mao recalls.
Calabrian shepherds dressed in goatskin trousers and colorful jackets came down from the mountains. They would play music on their pastoral flutes, and they would stop before the shrines in the streets in the different areas, and then of course they'd have their pans out to receive the money that people would throw from their apartments or give to them.
The traditions do differ by region in Italy.
Northern Italy, where the fir trees from the Alps are more readily accessible, the Christmas tree prevailed over the holiday scene, while the South stuck pretty much to traditional Italian precipio, or the crib of the nativity, right?
And Christmas morning, each home has a manger scene. The head of the family would place the baby Jesus in the manger. And I had Italians tell me that that was a very spiritual moment for them.
As we mentioned earlier in the program, a lot of people in this highly Catholic nation go to Midnight Mass, but Mao adds,
a lot of the evangelicals reacted against some of these traditions, and so they didn't even celebrate some of the holidays. Not Christmas. Most of the people around us, the evangelicals, did, but in some parts of Italy, they would do anything but.
They did celebrate more New Year's Eve, at least in our church we did. And they would have a get-together and then pray when the New Year came in. And they had their special meal, too, that with lentils. That's good luck.
And it's not over December 26th.
The season goes through January 6th, which is also another national holiday. And on that day, the Good Witch was supposed to bring gifts to the children. So the Italian children received more presents on January 6th. Now I think they get some for Christmas too, but it used to be they'd get only presents on January 6th.
Ginny adds that the whole culture is influenced by its food.
And that's why they're so well known all over the world.
We never had a bad meal in Italy.
No, we never did. There are two special meals at Christmas time. One is called the Pranzo della Vigilia, which is the Christmas Eve meal. And that would be when they would eat the eel. Christmas Day, usually the whole family gets together and they make pasta from scratch.
And it's not just a song. At Christmas time, you're likely to see literal chestnuts roasting on an open fire in the streets. And here's a tradition you might like Americans to adopt.
The law requires businesses to give a 13th month at Christmas time, so of course that comes in handy to
buy presents.
Even your local policeman benefits.
The policeman wanted to be remembered too, especially at Christmas time, and so they'd pass their usual routes. People would drop a package at the feet of their favorite traffic cops.
Here's wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas from WPGM Radio.
Us united, play and sing to the newborn king.